brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today's the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. I had the privilege one time of being in Italy and went to Assisi. And it so struck me very forcefully when I saw his habit and I saw one of his vestments, and they're very small. He was not a big man. I think in our own mind's eye, when we think of heroes and heroines and very holy people, great saints, etc., we magnify them even physically in our own minds. We have them so big before us. And it was, for me, it was something just standing there looking at his habit, this little habit that he wore. He was a small man. I think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. God has often taken little frames, physical frame, our framework, our skeletal framework. He's let many be very small because we so associate greatness with physical stature. It's just one of the things we do. And when we see the reality of what we've, you know, thought about in our own minds and our own imagination, when we see the reality, it seems sometimes, not always, but sometimes it seems insignificant. It's, I think it should say something to us that God's power works through our weakness, through our littleness, through our smallness, whether that be physical or mental or whatever the case may be. He will work through that, all of that. It's the world that tries to magnify and make bigger and louder and glitzy, you know, just all kinds of flashing neon lights, etc. That's what we do to people that the world values. We make them bigger than life. But that's not what God does. God humbles himself, and he draws near to us, and he dwells in us, and oftentimes he lets our stature be small. Even Pope John Paul, who was such a marvelous athlete and quite a man in physical structure, and yet in those last years, even as he continued to serve us in those last years, the diminishment that you saw in his body was going on. Why am I saying all this? Because I don't want you to equate holiness and value with the things or the images that this world values. Look at the heart. Look at the soul. Look at what they say and then imitate them. Even if the world would ignore, even if the world would mock, look for the holy people. Don't use the world's standards. Look at God's standards. Holiness of life, kindness, generosity, meekness, patience, giving and receiving mercy, etc., etc. Look for those things. And where you see them genuinely, pay attention. St. Francis of Assisi, as I began, was a man who was born in 1182 in Assisi, Italy, and he was the son of a rich cloth merchant. And you know the story of his relinquishing any inheritance that he might have and stripping himself from his clothes, that he was not, there was nothing that he would value except God himself. And in 1208, he heard the gospel in which Christ sends his disciples forth, telling them to take no sack for the journey or a second tunic or sandals or a walking stick. That's from Matthew 10. And immediately Francis went out to preach on the streets of Assisi as Christ instructed. His fervor attracted other young men who became the first friars minor. And at the end of his life, Francis received the stigmata, a sign of intimate union with the Savior. Little man, little kindnesses, mercy, generosity, love for God that spilled over in him and touched everyone he came in contact with. Not the world's standards. First reading today is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. In the month Nisan of the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when the wine was in my charge, I took some and offered it to the king. As I had never before been sad in his presence, the king asked me, "Why do you look sad? If you are not sick, you must be sad at heart." Though I was seized with great fear, I answered the king, "May the king live forever. How could I not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been eaten out by fire?" And the king asked me, "What is it then that you wish?" I prayed to the God of heaven and then answered the king, "If it please the king and if your servant is deserving of your favor, send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, to rebuild it." And then the king and the queen seated beside him asked me how long my journey would take and when I would return. I set a date that was acceptable to him, and the king agreed that I might go. And I asked the king further, "If it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of west of Euphrates, that they may afford me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. Also a letter for Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, that he may give me wood for timbering the gates of the temple citadel and for the city wall and the house that I shall occupy." The king granted my requests, for the favoring hand of my God was upon me. Why? Because he was seeking to perform acts of charity and mercy. He was seeking to care for his oppressed people. Kings could do anything. They could have annihilated him on the spot. But the king responded, probably because he saw the genuineness of this man. Do you ever speak on behalf of another? Do you ever see the plight of someone and say, nothing I can do? Do you ever go one step further and say, I can't do it, but I'll bet if I ask so-and-so, they could help out in this situation? So many of us, because of the world standards, so many of us say, well, it's none of my business, I don't know them. But I would say that the true Christian today would be one to go find somebody who could help. Go out of your way. Yes, it'll cost you in time, energy, but oh my goodness, how near God draws to those who seek to bring mercy to others. Psalm 137, "Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you." Day in and day out, brothers and sisters, we should be recalling what God has done and is doing for us. We should be thanking him every day for the good things that we have received from his hand. And where there are crosses, and where there are difficulties, and where there is pain. I'm going to say more about suffering next week, but I just want to say now, when you're suffering, it doesn't not mean that God has abandoned you. It does not mean that God has abandoned you at all. He's allowing the suffering in order to draw you close to himself. Draw close to him. When you see the suffering of others, bring them into the presence of God. Don't ignore them. Don't avoid them. Be, in a certain sense, a Francis of Assisi who reached out everywhere to bring God's love. May you do the same. And the gospel for today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." I don't have a home. Thank you. But I don't have a home. My home is with the Father. Those are my words, obviously. And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father," which seems like a very logical thing to do. "Let me go and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." In other words, get your priorities straight. God isn't saying don't care for your relatives, don't care for those in need. He isn't saying that. But he's saying, even as important as that is, God's word is more important. Doesn't mean you don't care for them, but you pay more attention to God. You spend time with God. You learn what God wants of you. Then you're in a much better position to care for all the other people that you need to care for. But get it straight with God. In other words, what Jesus is saying is your priorities, you've got a lot of goods here. There are a lot of goods and they're very important, especially care for family is very important, highest on the list. But what he's saying is, I want you to get your priorities straight. And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." And Jesus answered him, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, God isn't saying here that you don't take care of your family. That's not the point. The point is that even the most important responsibilities that we have, they are all secondary to what God wants. And so we want to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I have these needs, I'm responsible for them, but I want you to be first in my life. And I believe that you will help me to care for those I love, but I need to put you first." So many people say, "Oh, well, I have too much to do now, another year, and then maybe I can do some mission work, or I can go on this retreat, or I can..." No, 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 no. No. Put God first. "Lord, what do you want of me? You know my circumstances right now. You know what I'm dealing with. You know the priorities. You know the importance of them. Help me. Help me to order them so that you are first and that your will being done in my life and through my life is first in my life. Help me, Lord." And he'll help me. He will help you. He will help you. And the things that need to get ordered and prioritized will flow out of that. Get straight with God first. What does God want of me this day, this week, this month, this year? May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.